You are listening to Artisan Adventures with FGG Designs. Join us on our journey as we explore the different worlds of wood carving, ring making, knife making, photography, pyrography, leathercraft, crochet, and paper art. This is episode number 2, an introduction to FGG Designs, part 2 of 3. In today's episode, we talk about what drives us. We look at our faith, our family, and our fascinations as once again, we invite you to join us around the table. So in this first segment, we're going to be looking at our faith. The most important things in our lives are our faith, our family, and as Sean has so aptly chosen, 4 F's, faith, family, fascination. We'll be just looking into more details of really what drives us. So first up, our faith. What is so important about our faith? Why do we consider that a primary drive in our business, in our lives? What makes faith so important to us?
Well, if I could interject here first, what we read in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, when Solomon has written everything about life, basically, he sums it up by saying that, you know, the end of man is that you fear God. So, and we also read in Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So for us who love God, it only faith is everything to us, because we can't please the one we love without faith. And if it's the end of all men to fear God, then that's what everything should be aiming towards.
Yeah, well, and that's obviously where our name is focused on. For God's Glory Designs. For those who are listening, you'll see FGG Designs on our website. The FGG stands for God's Glory. It is represented in our logo. But that's really the bottom line for us, is bringing God glory in everything that we do.
Even in our logo, as you mentioned then, it shows the elements of our faith as well. You know, we have the crown, we have the shield, which is all pictures in the Bible that refer to the armor that the believer has. And so everything we do in this business is to give God glory. And I think that is truly what drives us, because no matter who we work for, whether you work for a boss or you're self-employed, ultimately the only person you're ever going to give an account to is God. So for us who are self-employed and work as a family, we still are held accountable every day by what we do. I mean, even every word we speak will be judged. So that truly drives us to produce the best possible product we can. It helps us to have the right attitude when things don't always go our way, or things happen that might not be all that great, that we wish would have never happened. But it helps us have the right perspective, because we have our eyes ultimately in heaven, not on earth. So that helps to say myself over and over again, it helps drive us. That's really what the bottom line is.
And even in a family business like this, coming together as believers and followers of Christ, I think it's easier to do this to the glory of God. Speaking from me who works as a mechanic during the day right now, the environment that I work in is very challenging for a believer. The things that are talked about, said, or even done technically go completely against what God wants us to do. So to stand up in situations like that is a lot more challenging than in our own family, where we have each other to hold each other accountable and encourage each other to keep our eyes focused.
Yeah, I think that's the common denominator in our family, which makes it, well, on the one hand, pleasant to work in this environment, But at the same time, there are challenges that we experience even together. We're dealing with relationships here, and in any relationship, there's always challenges. And yet, for us, we have a basis to deal with those challenges, and we're all on the same page. Whereas when you're working for an employer somewhere else, you don't necessarily have that same situation. When you're working for other people who are not necessarily like-minded, you have challenges, but to deal with those challenges, you can't quite deal with them in the same way that you can deal with those challenges here. And I think that's one of the huge blessings of being able to work together in this particular family venture because of that.
It's just dawned on me that we keep saying our faith and we give God glory, but we should probably define exactly what our faith is, what it is we truly believe, because many people have quote-unquote faith in many things. So we should probably define what that is. And so we are Christians. We believe the Bible. And we, as Michael mentioned a minute ago, we follow Christ, which is what a Christian is someone who follows Christ. I mean, you can't have a Christian without Christ. Right. So, we are devoted to the Bible. And as Grandpa said in last week's podcast, that we stand on the word of God. So that's what faith is. Faith is taking God at his word. So when we say we live by faith, we are driven by our faith, is we are driven and we live by the word of God.
Right. And we see the word of God as the authority for our lives. When we are confronted with what someone else says versus what the Bible says, there's no question in our mind who or what is speaking the truth. It's the word of God. And we hold to the word of God as this episode is going to be full of driving and what drives us. It drives us to do the things that we do because the word of God is that driving factor in our lives.
Even just looking back into our family history, looking at the different influences for me specifically, I grew up in a Christian home. I my parents have always professed faith, as well as my grandparents. And just thinking back through my high school years specifically, because those are the most recent high school and college years, just seeing the focus that my grandparents had with them being missionaries, my parents have had in the churches we've had attended, and even in the home, the example, well, both men, Grandpa and Dad, have shown as what a godly man should be doing inside the home, how he should be leading his family. Even for Mom and Grandma, how they have followed in their husband's footsteps, and in this case, all four of them have had an influence in raising me, since we did live pretty close to each other for most of our lives, within a block most of my life. Just being in this the phases of our lives now, where we're actually able to, come into a family business altogether, I think is it's challenging for every single one of us. Yet to see how the Lord works through our differences and brings them together in the end to make everything work out, I think is just an amazing blessing.
Yeah, and we're talking about our faith, how it impacts our lives, but I even think of as we've been working on a number of projects, we do run into those difficult moments when things don't exactly work out the way we want them to.
All the time.
No, not all the time. But, there's times when either we're still developing in our craft, or maybe even our machines or whatever aren't functioning the way that we'd like them to be functioning, or we just realize, you know, we maybe don't have the ideal tools to accomplish a certain task. What that oftentimes does is it presents challenges when it comes to our attitudes and how we respond to things. And this is where our faith comes into play. And this is where we find opportunity to challenge each other. Okay, how are we going to respond to this? Are we going to get upset with the circumstances, with the things that aren't working out? Or are we going to look at these things from the perspective of our faith, which says, first of all, God is sovereign. God is in control of everything. And there's nothing that happens in our lives that happens by chance or is an accident. There's purpose in everything, even the things that we could interpret as undesirable, unpleasant, uncomfortable. But those things are there to help us grow, help us gain perspective where we've lost perspective. And so we can stop, we can check that frustration, check maybe even anger at times with what's happening, and say, how does God want us to view these circumstances? And when we stop and realize that He is in control, you start asking different questions. Instead of being focused on those circumstances, you're starting to think, okay, what's the intent? What is the purpose in this? How can I learn from my mistakes? How can I grow in these areas? Maybe the first thing could be a relational issue that we have to deal with. How am I responding to someone, or not responding correctly to someone? Or it could be how should I see this specific incident, and how can I learn and grow? What can I learn out of this particular thing? And this is where our faith, influences every aspect. And this is where we're coming back to what Dad said in last week's podcast about the authority of the Bible being the authority that we live by. And when the Bible says this is the way God sees us, this is what God wants and desires of us, then we realize we need to submit to Him. And we find in the end that it really does transform how we interact together. It transforms how we deal with those problems, and we get on track, generally speaking, fairly quickly. Does anybody else have something to add to this? Otherwise, we're going to go on to the next segment. We'll take a quick break here. So here's our next segment, our family. And again, you'll find that many of these things sort of overlap. We are blessed without question, as I am oftentimes confronted as I interact with people throughout the day, with how many broken families there are, how many relationships have been severed. As I listen to many podcasts, it's interesting. There are those ones that stand out where you see healthy family relationships and healthy talk and respect for spouses. And then you see the podcasts where people acknowledge, you know, I'm divorced. You see these broken relationships, and it saddens me, because I being someone who has been married for a little shy of 30 years, it's a blessing to see that relationship grow and see the impact that relationship can have on your children, and Lord willing, on our grandchildren. And obviously from dad and mom's or grandma and grandpa's standpoint, their grandchildren. And family relationships are so important. And even in our own family, we realize that not always, it's not something anymore that we can assume that everyone has a healthy relationship and that you've got complete families. And that even if you have, you know, your families, that you've got a good relationship with each other. And so this is where I see our family once again being greatly blessed by the Lord. We could not function together, I believe, in the way we do if it weren't for those healthy relationships.
And I think more importantly, our relationships with the Lord, because just thinking, you know, and I personally don't think I'd want, you know, by us explaining this about our family, which is a huge blessing, we don't want to make you listeners jealous, because that's also one, well, it's a sin. You cannot covet and you cannot be jealous of something that the Lord has not given you, because the Lord has put you in a place where he wants you to be. And I think, you know, if it was down to us, we wouldn't be in this place. We wouldn't have a family like we do. And it is only by God's grace and only because of his sovereignty that he has chosen, really, to have this be upon us. Now, that doesn't mean that we have struggles, because we have many struggles and we have many different things that we now have to focus on in order to grow. And, you know, just because this one area we're blessed with and may not be as difficult, we do now have other areas that we have to focus on that maybe other people aren't as, you know, aren't struggling with as much as we may do. So I just personally want to say, you know, it's not, we don't want to share these blessings as a way to discourage you if you have a broken family, but to encourage you that if your focus is on the Lord, then that will, you know, help with whether it be a reuniting of the family or even just having peace about where you currently are in, might be a season or just your life. So I just wanted to kind of throw that in there.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Elizabeth.
And yeah, as it was mentioned about broken families, humility is all it takes to reunite a family. Forgiveness is all it takes. As long as one person is unwilling to forgive someone, there'll always be that barrier.
Right.
But as soon as someone shows that humility and asks for forgiveness or is willing to forgive and let go of what may have happened, that's when a bond can come back together again. So if you have a broken family, then all it takes is just that one person, it may even be you, to just ask for forgiveness and just make that happen.
That's what would open up the door to healing.
Yeah, it's not, obviously, even though the world around us has many broken families, it's not something that can't be remedied. There's reasons for that brokenness, but there's a solution.
Yes, I was just going to say that some of our family members have had broken families mm-hmm. in their past, mm-hmm. and yet the Lord has chosen to bring them to a relationship with their mates that has been a blessing, because they have learned how to have that relationship with the Lord that bridges the problems that are in their past and from their family background.
Right. And obviously the thread here that we see is not that which people can do, because all of us are just downright selfish. We only really think of ourselves. That's the natural thing for us to do. Anybody who is willing to just stop for a moment and question, why do I have a broken relationship? Are things not the way they should be, will very quickly come to the conclusion that it relates to the selfishness that we all have. That selfishness in biblical terms is called sin. And we all struggle with sin. But the answer, as we've seen, the thread through this whole thing is not us, but it's God. And the reason why we can have the family relationships that we do have, as Elizabeth pointed out, is because of the relationship that we have with God. He's the one that transforms and changes our thought patterns, the way we think about these things. He's the one that, as Sean says, helps us to take that step that says, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And being humble is not something that we easily do. We're prideful beings. But being willing to step back and say, I did not respond the way I should have. My attitude towards you was not right. It is sinful. Please forgive me. I want to make this right. That's something that can only come about through the influence and the impact of the Lord in our lives.
And his word. And I think Christ is the ultimate example of being humble. If we look at the work he did for us as sinners to die on the cross, even though he was without sin, but took that punishment for us in our place, how else can we respond to be an example in our families and have the right attitude and show forgiveness and give forgiveness?
Which, funny enough, points us back to what drives us, our faith.
Our faith. It, you know, all these things come back to the primary drive. So even though we've sought to split this up into three segments, faith, family, fascination, every aspect is fundamentally influenced by faith. That's why as you go to our website, even though we talk about the aspects and the crafts that we are involved with, you will constantly see how our faith impacts our lives. And you can count on that in our podcasts, our blogs, and even in our interaction with you personally, if we have that opportunity.
Well, I can't help but want to take advantage of the discussion about faith, which was our former segment, but to remind ourselves of the term that is found at least four times in Scripture, the just shall live by faith. And this is not intended to pat ourselves on the back, but to realize the challenge that it is before us, that if we want to stand justified before a holy God, it will be brought about as we learn step by step each day to live by faith.
And I wouldn't mind also just going back a little bit to almost tie this segment of the family into, again, what drives us, why family drives us. And Mom mentioned a little while ago about our example is Christ, and Christ was humble. And a part of humility is selfless love. And with this business, I mean, it's all by God's grace, as we said, but it's going to take all of us to work together to make this work. So that drives us, the idea of family, because we love one another and we want this to work for one another because we know this is where our desire is. And if one of us decides that we don't want to do this anymore, or if one of us decides that we're not going to give it our all for a while, that's going to affect everyone. So we need to, that helps drive us to get this business to work because we want it to work for each other. Right. And that's where that humility and ties it all back into faith as well. Why our faith drives us, because we see in Christ that humble love where he did everything. Even the day before he died, he was still showing love to his disciples. He washed their feet the night before he died when he was arrested. knowing that they would desert him a few hours later. He continually loved to the end. So as a family, we seek not only to continually love each other as our family, but also those around us. So that's why, again, with our products, we strive to give the best product we can, because we want to bless others with what we do. And we want to encourage others. And also we want to encourage our family. So as I think it was last podcast, Dad mentioned that we are so encouraged by what other people are doing in our family. And we just, oh, I want to try that. I want to try this. And so if we just become stale for some reason, that's going to affect everyone. So that focus on family is truly helps drive the business, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a family business after all.
Yeah. It is. That's what we convey it to be, and it certainly is that. And Sean, I appreciate how you've really tied those things together, because it is important. And like you said, if it would influence the whole if one was not on board. And even at times we've struggled with that internally. We don't all have the same opportunities to be involved like maybe we want, but it does impact us. And we recognize, because of the way all of our gifts mesh together, that it would not work if we were not working as a family. That's the bottom line.
I know you can't see this, but we're all nodding right now.
Now, I think it's a good time to shift into the third segment, our fascinations. And again, I believe that too will overlap into the two prior segments. So now on to our fascination.
Insert cricket sound.
What are our fascinations? What's our fascination? Well, in one sense, we've already talked about what our fascination is.
Trees, paper, buttons.
Yes. I wasn't referring to that.
No. Metal, resin.
That's where we're going. Yes. That's where we're going. Absolutely.
Food?
Sharp objects.
Coffee.
Oh, sharp objects. Yeah. Those are things you've got to be careful with.
Very careful.
It might be a good moment to have Sean share with us his challenges of the last couple weeks. Month, I guess, close to a month.
You showed me a share under the fascinations part, because I wasn't really exactly fascinated by what happened. So a don't try this at home, kids, kind of thing. Well, the main part of my work is obviously the wood carving, and I use three main primary tools, which is an axe and two different types of knives. And, well, the most dangerous one, of course, being the axe. I managed to miss the wood and hit my finger, and ironically, I just sharpened the axe. So that obviously helped.
Smooth as butter.
Yeah. It was, let's just say, a learning experience. So I may have been trying to cut corners, or just, again, my mind wasn't in the right place, but I still carried on trying to work. And obviously that ended in you try and cut a corner to save yourself 10 seconds, but that cost me 6 weeks. I've only just gone back to carving. The Lord was gracious in that I didn't lose my finger. It could have been a lot worse. Mm-hmm. So I'm very thankful. And in this time, I have had a lot of time to research certain things. I mean, even the podcasts, things with learning all the time. And it's opened my eyes. And as Dad likes to say, get me out of my box. it's helped me broaden my horizons. And in that case, okay, I'll tie it back to the theme. It's given me new fascinations. I've been able to research different things I want to try. I've been designing. I suppose my graphics design does come in handy in the end. I designed pendants and things I want to carve, different ideas for coffee scoops, you know, so I've had a lot of time to work on things. And I'm also very grateful it was my left hand that I axed, not my right hand, because that would have limited me even more. But yeah, so all that to say, just be careful when you use an axe. It should come as common sense, but I suppose when you've been doing it for nearly 2 years, you kind of lose that. I lost that respect, I guess, if you want to say, for how dangerous it really is. And the Lord, I believe, used that to open my eyes to what I do and to give me that respect and to help me understand just how dangerous this is.
I think that's a danger we all have when we're working with tools. Hot objects, fires, knives.
Fast-spinning objects.
Fast-spinning objects, cutters.
We've got the wrong business, haven't we?
We all have a bit of a clumsy side to us as well, so I'm not quite sure if that's helpful or not.
Yeah, that probably isn't. But at the same time, these are things I think anybody is confronted with. When things go well for a long time, they can become complacent. We all can become complacent and forget the importance of safety. And as we go forward, these are things we will constantly be reminding ourselves of, but also reminding our listeners of, especially as we go start explaining what we do and helping others develop in these types of crafts. There is an aspect of danger and a risk that you take, but you have to be careful.
You can't get comfortable with the machines or tools you use, because you get too comfortable, you're not going to pay attention to the danger that they bring forth as you work with them. You got to be on guard constantly.
And the next thing, you can only count to 9 on your hands rather than 10.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that doesn't happen, Sean. Sean, you've clearly talked about your fascination with wood.
Trees mainly.
With trees. Well, you know, one of the things I've seen you develop in is a growing knowledge of the trees and looking at leaves and the bark and the patterns of the wood to identify the wood, which is, I think that's just really cool to see that develop. You've, as you just mentioned, having the opportunity to research the last weeks, you've come up with some great new ideas. And I know, like you mentioned, you've sort of been stomping at the bit to get going and try some of these things. And we've all been for you. We've recognized the challenge that it's been for you not to be able to do this. And as you've shared and shown us examples and drawn things out, it makes us want for you to be carving again.
At the same time, although he's been out of commission with his carving, he's helped probably everyone at this table with doing research for us that, because of maybe our other jobs or other commitments we have through the day, don't necessarily have the amount of time fully available to us that he was able to help out with and do some research.
I was literally just going to say that. Sean's been a huge, huge help in researching just so many things. And also, if you've had a chance to look at our website and our few products we currently have on there, we're still working on that. If you look at all the descriptions, that's his handiwork. He's really, we've noticed a secret talent that he has of explaining something about a product.
Not so secret anymore.
No, sorry. I think everyone
kind of ruined it now.
So besides his wood carving, he's also a wordsmith.
There you go. Yeah. But it's been a huge, huge help, just because I've been quite overwhelmed just with a lot of the things that we've wanted to get done. And I was seeing time just go by and not getting as much done as I've wanted to. And I kind of joke about it, but I'm also slightly serious about it when I say that I'm kind of thankful he axed his finger. But I obviously don't like the fact that it's put him out of commission and that it hurt, and
it's
a healing process. But at the same time, it's really helped with, well, the growing of the business. So we've really grown in the last months.
Yeah, and I mean, not to take the verse of scripture out of context, but we read in Romans 8 that God works all things together to good, for good to those who love him. So, I mean, I believe ultimately that's talking about heaven and, you know, everything. We're going to be giving glory to God. But even in situations like this, you might be questioning, oh, why did this happen? That hurt, that, you know, you broke down your car, you had to spend money to fix it. But if you're a believer and you're a Christian and you love the Lord, you have that promise in scripture that all things work together for good. And this is an example of that. I mean, if you would have asked me that, would I like to cut my finger with an axe? I would say no. But ultimately, what the Lord did through this is fascinating, shall we say, just to keep using that word again.
One of the problems we oftentimes have with that verse is that we have a tendency to think, well, the thing that happened to me wasn't good. So there's something wrong with the scripture. But the fact is, it is that all things work together for God's good. And he's the one that determines what trials we need to go through in order to be a part of his perfect plan. And that means that it can be very painful at times. But we know that the sovereignty of God will rule in these things and perfect all things to his glory.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Should we actually talk about our fascinations now, like what?
Well, no, but, you know, the bottom line is this is our fascination.
Right.
We are easily fascinated with anything that we end up talking about, as you might start noticing sooner or later, probably sooner, that we will easily go off on rabbit trails and just start talking
rabbits.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not just rabbit trails. What we're talking about,
in Elizabeth's case, it's squirrels.
Yeah. No, but thanks. I'm referring to the fact that what are we talking about?
Right.
We're talking about the impact God has on our lives. That to me isn't a rabbit trail. Or even a squirrel trail. It's our life. Once again, that's why we keep on coming back to these things, is because our lives revolve around this. And all our fascinations really flow out of that one fascination for God and his word and the impact and authority of his word on our lives. But yes, to be more specific into the practical aspects of our fascination, not that that's not practical, but what we're doing in the sense of work. Sean has mentioned his wood carving. What other aspects of our fascinations do you guys want to bring up at this point?
Anyone?
I think... I don't know. I think the fascination of just all of our crafts, really, and how that intertwines. I mean, we sort of discussed it in our previous episode of how our crafts and the things that we like to do are, you know, they intertwine together, and, you know, Sean's woodworking and my pyrography and the burning of designs and things like that, you know, they all go together. And I'm just fascinated at seeing where we've come from and where we're going. And, you know, we easily, I think I mentioned this in the previous episode of where we now go out to stores or to friends' places and we're seeing things differently. I'm quite fascinated by that because I'm using fascinated a lot, but I want to drive that home. But, you know, I find that, yes, fascinating because we started these crafts, we look at things differently. So I'm now always on the lookout for what can I be burning into spoons or pendants or, you know, patterns that I come across, whether it's patterns in the sky or patterns in nature or patterns on the internet. You know, if we love Pinterest, we get so many ideas from Pinterest. And I can spend, you know, hours on there just looking through some ideas. And a lot of times I don't try to copy people's work, of course, because that wouldn't be right. But I will often utilize different aspects of things that I've seen. So I think personally, I'm fascinated by what is out there that helps us in our craft.
It's by what you see that allows you to be able to come up with the new ideas for the products we craft.
Right.
Well, I just think we started out the very first podcast talking about how in our lives, how many times we've had various areas of interest. Mm. And I think all of those things kind of combine to teach us what we can learn as we see things around us, as has been mentioned here again. But that awareness of life around us is pretty important, and it benefits our being able to express our ideas, our thoughts, into products or into words or whatever.
And I think that thing about being artisans is, as we mentioned last time as well, is you have that freedom to show your personality through what you make. And I think one of the things I find fascinating, and I know others do, like, for example, Michael, who have this ring blank from resin. And as we mentioned, it's always going to be different. You never know what it's going to turn out to. So it's always that fascination of, oh, how is this going to turn out? And for me, every time I have a log, I mean, we joke that I love trees, but it's because when I have a fresh log in my hands, you never know what it's going to look like once you split it open, and then once you start carving. And then, I mean, the thing about carving is it's organized chaos almost. You're taking away everything that isn't what you want it to be there, as opposed to building or making something. So Michael and I are very similar that we have a larger chunk that we carve down into a smaller object, which is finally the end result. And that is what's really fascinating to me, is you never know. I mean, not to sound like Forrest Gump, but you never know what you're going to get. And it's, I don't know, yeah, for the 100th time, it's fascinating.
I can't help but reflect back on several of the things that have been mentioned here recently, and talking or thinking about, well, Lina's interest through the years is, and this is a fascination for me, how she has been able to look at things wherever she is. She sees things in a store window. She sees things on the street. She sees things in magazines, and she's constantly challenge to analyze those things. How were those things put together? I think I could reproduce those things.
And she'll say, that's fascinating.
And she has, she's had a great fascination with analyzing things.
With ideas.
And she'll come up with things that might be identical to what she's looking at, or a good alternative might be better than what she's looking at. But that's always been fascinating to me, to watch how she's functioning.
Well, as far as my fascinations go, I've already indicated that I'm extremely fascinated with my family and their interests. Like I mentioned in the last podcast, so often I see what they're doing and I'm like, oh, it'd be so fun to do that also. Now, I don't have the same abilities yet in that area, and I probably won't necessarily develop those abilities in those particular areas. But I am extremely fascinated with knives. I've been...
Me too.
Fascinated.
In a different way.
In fact, you made one of my knives. Two of my knives.
Yes. Yeah. Carving.
And Michael's knives.
Carving knives. Yeah, those were like my first knives I made.
And they still work very well.
Good.
They're still sharp because I haven't used mine.
Well, that's a good thing, because I wouldn't want you using your knives on your cars that you work on.
Yeah, no.
Or rings.
They were rings.
They wouldn't be sharp very, very long. But I've been interested and fascinated with the outdoors. That, I think, has sort of influenced my interest in knives, just the practicality of using knives for different purposes. And my fascination with knives is on a practical level. I know that there are people that collect knives, fancy knives, things that are beautiful. And I love those. I've gone to a number of different websites, and I'm sure in the future, as we deal with some of these topics specifically, some of these websites will come up. And I enjoy seeing these works of art that people make. But I'm a person that likes knives that are practical, that you can use, be it EDC everyday carry knives,
or samurai swords.
well, yeah, those some people can use those. I'm not yet into that phase. But yeah. As we go forward, I'm sure that you listeners will all hear about our different products, our different fascinations, as we are growing in those. And we are certainly not only a new business, a new venture in that sense, but we are growing and developing in our crafts. It's not like we've spent all our lives working with these particular crafts. They're new to us. There's a learning curve. We're enjoying it, and we are certainly profiting from the many artisans that have gone before us, who we can reference and learn from. We appreciate all those other podcasters out there who have been sharing their craft, that we get to learn from those things. Well, thank you for joining us today, and as we've gone through the things that drive us as a family, our faith, our family bond, and the different fascinations that we have. That's the end of our second podcast. Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. We hope you have been motivated by today's topics to excel in your craft, but most importantly, to live for God's glory. If you have any questions about this episode, please write us at podcast@fggdesigns.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or visit us at fggdesigns.com.